apathy. Who cares? And today is, there is a day that's coming, folks. The day is coming. Will you be ready? Will you be ready for the day that is coming, my friends? I pray that today, if you're not, that before the end of the service is up, that you will be ready, that you will be prepared. If Jesus was to come today, that you know where you will spend eternity. My friend, because listen to me, I'm telling you, the day is coming. And it's coming quicker than what we are anticipating or expecting. Will you go with me in prayer this morning as we look at God's Word in Malachi chapter 4. Our Father and our God, as we come to you in prayer, Lord, God, we just thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you for the Spirit of God being here. And God, as we pray already, Lord, several times before we even get here and after we get here, so many pray, Lord, that you defeat the devil, bind him up, and cast him away. Or any opposition, God, it is not wanted here. Let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move, freedom to work in our lives, God. Help me behind the cross of Calvary this morning. Fill me with the words that you desire me to say, Lord, that I can preach without fear or faith. Of man, but preach in the boldness and the power of God. And God, I pray that you'll anoint the reading of your word this morning as we open it up. Your word is precious, God, and I pray that you'll anoint it, the Lord, and that it'll go forward. And God, that it'll convict where it needs to convict. God, it'll pierce where it needs to pierce, that we won't be the same as what we walked in here as. That God, we'll be excited, refreshed, and renewed, the Lord, that when we leave here and enter the mission field, that God, we can carry out your will and your way and your work that you desires to do. God, may your word go forward today. God, may it change hearts. May it change lives, the Lord. May it save souls. May it reclaim us to have a closer walk with you. God, may you fill this place today with your presence. Again, God, anoint the reading of your word. Hide me behind your cross, God. Use me today to deliver your word. God, we love you. God, we thank you. We appreciate you. Thank you for your presence being here. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1 through 6 says this. Says, for behold, the day cometh. The day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in the wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as a calf in the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, and for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which is I commanded unto him and Hor for all of Israel with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. When you look back at verse 1, and we're going to cover this up, but verse 1 says, behold, the day is coming. Coming in the Greek word, while I looked that up, it is an active participle, which means it is in action. So the wording that we would use today when we look at that could be, I'm on the way. That means that their action is getting there. It means I'm on the way. You look back at verses 1 through 3 with me one more time as we get into God's word and we begin to read it. It says, for behold, the day cometh. It shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave them neither root nor branch. My friend, that's a serious day that's coming, my friend, when God comes and rules and reigns and takes back what he has been granted. My friend, it's going to be a day that's going to get attention. It says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. When you go back to number one and you look at this, and I thought about with the coming of the Lord, it will be sudden. It will be sudden when he comes. And Thessalonians 5:2 says the end of the days will come, and all of a sudden, like a thief. My friend, it's coming. happen. It's going to catch people off. Listen to me. People have been hearing for over 2,000 years that the Lord is coming back. And when you hear that today, that the Lord is coming back, it falls on deaf ears. People are not looking for the Lord to return. They're not looking for Him to appear. That's the reason it says when He comes, He's going to come as a thief in the night, because we're not prepared for Him. We're not looking for Him. My friend, the people, as I said, across the world today is living in a state of apathy. Who cares? Everything goes. My friend, it doesn't matter. That's the state that we're living in. But yes, it does matter. It matters to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How we live our life matters to Him, my friends. And trust me, when you take a stand for Jesus and you take a stand for what's right, be ready. Be ready for attacks. Be ready for what's coming, my friend. Be ready. But it's time, as you and I, as Christian men and women, stand up, my friend, and stand for what's right. And what's right is the biblical truths of the Word of God, my friend. And it's time that we take a stand on that. When I think it will be happening sudden, and things happen and things are coming, I think of 1 Corinthians 15:52. When he says in this, he says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, my friend. It's coming when that time comes for the child of God. It's going to be instantaneously, my friend. It's coming. That change is going to happen. We will be changed. Oh, when I think about that, I think about 2 Peter 3. And when I'm over here in 2 Peter 3, we're going to read all of 2 Peter 3 and verses 1 through 18. When I think of this, and you read along with me, it says, "Then the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance." My friend, listen to me. I pray through this process. I pray through this time. I pray in this time and day that we're living in, my friend, that our minds begin to be stirred up, that our hearts begin to be stirred up, that we will recall and we will remember the things of Jesus. My friend, just as Miss Sharon prayed today, she prayed that, "God, I pray that your word won't end up on deaf ears today. That, God, I pray that our ears will be open, our hearts will be open, our minds will be open, that we'll be receptive to receive the word of God." My friend, if there's ever a time that we need to remember what the word of God is, we're needing it today. We're living in the day, my friend, that the day of the Lord is coming, and we better be aware of His word. We better have knowledge of His word, my friend, so that we can present that and stand on solid ground, stand on the rock. He says that in verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and the commandments of the apostles of the Lord Savior. He said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. My friend, listen to me. That's what's happening today. That's the day that we're living in, my friend, when there's scoffers, ones that's mocking the word of God, one that's walking around seeking and living after their own lust, my friend. It's time that we stand on the word of God. And it's time that we preach the word of God without fear or favor of man. My friend, it's time. Is it not time, church? Amen. It's time to stand on the word of God. My friend, you will never fall and you will never go wrong when you stand upon the word of God. And my friend, it's time. It's time that pastors in pulpits across America, my friend, quit preaching and living a liberal life. It's time to be conservative and start living a godly life and preaching the word of God, my friend. It doesn't matter what it is. It's time. My friend, they've been preaching stuff too liberal too long. That's the reason we're in the shape this country is in today. And it's time. It said in verse 4, and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? Asking, for since the fathers fell asleep, and all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they're willing, are ignorant of that, by the word of God, the heavens were old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly man." It's coming, my friend. Judgment is coming. We better be ready. We better be right. We serve a just God, my friend, and a God that is a righteous God. Oh, listen. He said in verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That means Jesus has only been gone for 2 days in his eyes. We better look up. We better understand, my friend, what the Word of God says. He said in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but his long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in that which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person are you to be in holy conversation and godliness? What manner of person are we to be? A person in holy conversation. Conversation and godliness, that people can identify you and me with Christ, my friend. Identify us. Looking. It says looking for and hasting in verse 12. Unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens be on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. He says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth, where then in dwelleth the righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account of the long suffering of the Lord, salvation. Even our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, have written it unto you. He said, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which that are unlearned and unstable wish, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. What is that saying, my friend, in verse 16? That is saying those that have twisted God's word. It says unlearned, unstable, and wish. That means those that take the word of God, that's untaught, that they take the word of God and they twist the word of God, my friend, and try to shove it down your throat and my throat. You better know what the Word of God says, so you can read it back to them, so that they have an understanding of what the Lord of God says, my friend. In this society and the country we're living in today, trust me, they take the Word of God and they twist it and they put their twist on it, my friend, to get an agenda across or a point across. They will take what you say, I say, and everybody else says, my friend, and they will twist it and, my friend, form a video of it and put it out there on YouTube exactly against what you say, my friend. They understand what they're doing. They know what they're doing. And my friend, we better stand on the Word of God. It's a day that we're living in, my friend. We have got to take a stand when it comes to the Word of God. It's saying they would twist it up. In verse 16, they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction, my friend. I'm telling you, God says you better not touch His Word. You better not change one thing in it, my friend. You better not even take an I off the I and a cross off the T. My friend, I'm understanding when you start messing with the Word of God, you're standing on dangerous ground. You're messing on dangerous ground. And God's vengeance, He said, vengeance is mine. I repay, thus saith the Lord. My friend, when you start taking the Bible and start messing with it and using it, my friend, for your own ways, my friend, you better understand destruction is coming, my friend. And listen to me, you got a God that knows the Word. And listen, in verse 17, He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also being led away with error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. And verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. My friend, listen to me. We got the Word of God, and we've got to stand on the Word of God and the promises on the Word of God. Oh, listen to me. When you think of, go back in verse 1 and you look at verse 1, and it says it will burn as an oven. It said it would be as stubble. You ever start a fire with a bunch of dry twigs, my friend? Listen, talk about burning hot and fast. Start your fire with some twigs. I'm telling you right now, it'll go. My friend, it won't last long, but it'll burn hot and it'll burn fast. Listen, he said when this happens, it will leave them neither root nor branch. My friend would be left behind, leaving them nothing, not even a seed or a root. In verse 2, when he goes there, he says it will provide a healing. Healing from the world. It ever get beat up by the world? Oh, ever been there? Take a stand for Jesus. You will get beat up by the world, my friend. Take a stand for what's true. Take a stand for what's right. And everybody across the whole country will come out and let you know about it, my friend. Take a stand. Take a stand for the truth of God's word, my friend. And take a stand and don't compromise from it. Oh, listen. It says the Son of Righteousness. That's the Holy Spirit in verse 2. My friend will be present. And then you look at John 16 and verse 7 through 14. He says this, when I'm telling you, it'll be speedy. He's coming. When you look at these verses of John 16 and verse 7 through 14, it says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. It said, and when he come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness of the judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He said, if I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, that Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For ye shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall ye speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. My friend, it's coming. It's expedient. My friend, it's going to happen. Oh, listen to me. As you go on and you see, it said in verse 2 that you, in verse 3, you shall be trampled the wicked. He said, not that we will trample the wicked under the feet, but that the wicked would have no power over the church, my friend. No power. No power over the church would take place. I believe one of the church's greatest sins is not claiming the authority that Jesus gave to the church. My friend, we're living in a state of apathy. It's time we get out of that state of apathy. It's time we claim the truths of God's word. My friend, it's time we claim what God's word says to do. Claim the authority that Jesus gave to the church, my friend. It's time. In Matthew 16, 18, he says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, my friend. In the pulpits across America today, they need to be preaching and standing on the rock, my friend. And if you stand on the rock, and that rock is Jesus, on the word of God, the gates of hell can't even prevail against it, my friend. It's time. It's time we rise up. It's time we take a stand. It's time that we get out of living a life of apathy and start living a life that's pleasing and honoring to the Lord. It's time. Oh, listen to me. You go back and you look at verses 4 through 6. The point number 2 is, remember the law of Moses. Remember the law of Moses. Oh, listen to me, my friends. Remember what it is. He goes back in verse 4, if you look at it. He says, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Oh, listen, the law of Moses was written, the word of God, in their time. For us, it is obeying the word of God, my friends. The Bible is a roadmap. Oh, listen, don't know what God is telling you to do? Oh, listen to me. Continue doing what he told you to do the last time he asked him. Amen. Continue doing what he told you to do and what his word says. Oh, you don't have to ask God what his will is concerning the things of the scripture. Open it up and apply the scripture and do what the scripture tells you to do. Amen. Stand upon the word of God. Do what the word of God tells us to do. Oh, listen, not only that, but number 3, he says, I will send you Elijah, the prophets in verse 5. I will send you Elijah. He said, look at verse 5. He said, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. Oh, listen, he's sitting here. He's telling us these things in Luke 1. And verse 13 through 17 is the fulfilling of the prophecy. He said, but the angel said unto him, what? Fear not, Zacharias, For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and they shall call his name John. Listen, I'm here to tell you, fear not. Our prayer as a child of God is heard, my friend. There's no prayer that you and I offer up that God doesn't hear. Fear not. Your prayers are being heard. Stand fast. Stay strong. Get out of living a life of apathy. Live it in the power and victory in Jesus, my friend. And thou shalt have joy and gladness. And many shall rejoice at his birth. My friend, you stand on the word of God. And you stand on the principles of God. And you live by it. There be a joy and a gladness that comes in your heart. And a rejoicing. He goes on in verse 15. He says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. My friend, listen to me. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Be filled with Jesus. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and know the way that the Lord wants you to go? Then get in God's word. Get in prayer. Be faithful to him, my friend, and start living the way that he wants you to do, my friend, and God will be blessed. As Serena and Thomas talked about, you want your family put back together. You want every situation that you're involved in. You want your marriage restored, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your spouses, your relationship with your family, your community, or whatever it is. Then get busy about doing God's work. Then get busy about putting God first in your life and living a life that's pleasing and honoring to him. Oh, listen, he goes on to say again in verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. He says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall not drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to love the Lord their God. My friend, that's what it's about. Standing on the word of God and turning those to the Lord, that they can love him. Turn them to the Lord their God. And he shall go forth before him in the spirit and the power of Elias. My friend, and turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom and of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He will remind you of the day of the Lord. He will remind you what's coming. That last verse in verse 17 again said, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, and turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. My friend, that's what we're trying to do. Listen to me. The Lord is coming. It's expedient. He's on the way. It's our job to prepare, my friend, that way to happen. Prepare yourself for it. Prepare yourself to get out of living a life of apathy. And my friend, start putting Jesus first and foremost in your life. My friend, it's coming. Listen, we better have a knowledge of the Word of God. In the society and the world we live in today, my friend, we better know what the Word of God says. We better stand on the Word of God and understand what it means and what it says. I know Mark loves apologetics, my friend. Listen to me. Apologetics is defending the Word of God, understanding what the Word of God is and how to address it and apply it in our life. My friend, we better understand it, because you're going to be challenged and faced with it. Show me where it says that in the Word. And my friend, you need to be able to turn to that Word and open it up and show them what thus saith the Lord of God says, not what thus saith anybody else says. Amen. It's the Word of God that will remain. And he will remind us, according to verse 5, remind you of the day of the Lord. In verse 6, my friend, in verse 6, when we get there, he will restore, my friend, all things. He will restore all things in point 4. He will restore those things in your life, in my life. Mark likes messing with me. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. He will restore all things. I have to tell you, God changed my message on me, and I put it in the Dropbox and forgot to tell Mark that he changed it. So earlier when I started, he started off with a message that I'd gave him originally, not the one that God had changed me, and he was messing with me. Y'all got to get him. He will restore all things. He will restore all things, my friend. Look at verse 6. He said, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Listen to me. When he says, he shall return the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. My friend, that's telling to me, he will mend our families together. That's telling me Jesus can restore your family if you let him. That's telling me he can restore your relationship with him if you let him. It tells me that it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what we're facing in this life, my friend, that he can change it. He can change it. He can restore it for you and me, my friends. He can restore our life if we'll let him. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter if you're separated, living in two homes. It doesn't matter, my friend, what is going on in your life. We serve a Jesus that wants to restore it. It doesn't matter, my friend, what you think or what you believe in anything else. What matters is what we believe in the Lord. What matters is standing on the rock. What matters is standing on the foundation that Jesus gave us to stand on. That's going to stand the test of times, my friend, and we need to stand on it. Oh, listen, he wants to restore those things in your life. He goes on to tell us in 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My friend, we serve a God that is in the restoration business. We serve a God that's in the restoring business, my friend. It doesn't matter where you are. Listen to me. God wants to do something special in your life today. Oh, listen to me, but you've got to stand on the Word of God. You've got to stand on the Word of God in opposition. You've got to stand in the Word of God on adversity. You've got to stand in the Word of God because it's the right thing to do. My friend, and you might suffer persecution. You might suffer threats. You might suffer a lot of things, my friend. But when you stand on the Word of God, you can never go wrong. You can never go wrong, my friend, because we answer to Him for our life and what we do. We answer to Him. Oh, listen to me. As the musicians and those come, I want to encourage you today to take a stand. Take a stand for what is right. My friend, get in the Word of God and understand what the Word of God says. Get in it and read it and apply it and understand it. My friend, so that you have a knowledge of the Word of God and the truth of God's Word and what the Word of God says. Get in it and understand it, that if somebody throws you a counterfeit, if somebody takes the Word of God out of context and quotes it to you, you can say, well, I don't think that's what that says. The Word of God that I read says it this way. Amen. That you can take a stand on it, my friend, and believe it. Oh, if there's ever been a time we need to be in the Word of God, it's now.